Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. On this broadcast, Shaladio teaches God's word on soul ties and other relationship issues affecting the believer. Listen and be blessed. Super excited to bring this news to you. Breaking Soul Ties now comes to Lagos, Nigeria on the 16th of May 2015. Register now for free on www.soulties-niger.xyz. I repeat, www.soulties-niger.xyz. Hurry now, see you there!
Hi there, welcome to the program. My name is Shola Adio. Welcome to episode 17 of our series on how to believe God for a spouse. In this series, I am sharing fundamental spiritual principles that will help single men and women to believe God for a spouse and to also find their spouse. I will be sharing core principles of confessions, faith, hope, seed principle, prayer, discernment, and so on. This series applies to both men and women. I want to share this prayer with you before we start, and I would strongly advise that you make this your daily prayer. And that's the prayer in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verses 17 to 18. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that through this teaching, through this message, the eyes of our understanding will be opened to see the wondrous things out of thy law. In the name of Jesus Christ, that the eyes of our understanding will be opened to see and perceive revelation of your word that will cause us to walk in total victory and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we looked at the kingdom of God principle in Mark chapter 4, and we saw that the seed was the word of God, and we saw that Christianity really is based on the kingdom of God principle. The kingdom of God principle, for me, I define the kingdom of God principle as the principle of sowing the seed of God's word into the ground of your heart and nurturing it during the day until it results in a harvest that can be reaped with a sickle. Now, there are many ways in which you can look at Christianity, but for me, really, the principal way in which I look at Christianity is the principle of sowing and reaping, which is that the results that you are getting in the kingdom of God are a function of the seeds that you are sowing. And that's what we want to take a closer look at today. We're going to be looking more into this principle. I just want to say, you know, before I continue, that there is the principle also, or there's a, should I say, the privilege of receiving, you know, outright miracles from God. That's, you cry out to God for something that is completely supernatural, out of this world, and it happens. But I also want to say to you that if you operate your Christianity that way, you will be frustrated. And this is the reason. You will not get those kind of prayers answered 100% of the time. There comes a time where you will need to pay attention to the seeds that you are sowing into the ground of your heart. Because these seeds primarily will dictate the kind of harvest and results that pop out in your life. And on a number of occasions, emergency prayers may not be able to alter the effect of these seeds that you sow, especially wrong seeds that you sow into the ground of your heart. Some weeks ago, I gave this example of a man who kept on saying something that he will never live to be 40. He reportedly had been saying this since the age of 25. you know some of these silly things that people just say, and you just pick it up and, you know, just say it for the fun of it. Said that, oh, he will never live to be 40. He knows that he will never live to be 40. I hear those kind of things at work. You know, people just say all sorts of silly things. Some people will say that their brains are dead. Some people, they are saying it jokingly, right? That some people will say that they are blind. That some people will say that, you know, all sorts of things that if you imagine that these things would actually happen to them, then you will be scared for them. So this guy kept on saying, you know, just joking, that he knows he will never live to be 40. And at the age of 39, he fell sick and he fell into a coma. And man of God, Papa Hagin, was praying and interceding for him. And at some point, the Lord spoke to Papa Hagin and said, look, words have been spoken, spiritual laws have been set into motion that can no longer be reversed. Release his soul and let him come over unto me. And Papa Hagin had to stop praying, and the man died. Now, Papa Hagin did not even know the content of the man's words until, I think, on the day of the funeral, where someone said that, oh, he used to say for the last 14 years that he will never live to be 40. He will never live to be 40. Now, you see, that's a classical example of a man who planted seeds into the ground of his heart, and not even the finest of prayers could reverse the effect of those seeds. So you see why it is important that the seeds that you sow are far more important than the emergency prayers that you seek after. Very important. Someone asked me the question the other day, and I just thought, oh, let me answer the question. I mean, she's a very good friend of mine. We do chat a lot. She discusses this broadcast with me, so I really cherish her input. And she asked me a very innocent question, which I thought that I actually gave her the answer, but I thought it's something I should mention on this broadcast. She said that she noticed that I've put a lot of emphasis, you know, into an individual discovery and individual responsibility, you know, when it comes to believing God for stuff. And that there was this particular broadcast where I, you know, particularly came down quite hard on people who built their entire Christianity on the process of running to men of God or running to pastors to request for prayers anytime they desire any type of increase or intervention or breakthrough in their lives. And that, is there anything wrong, you know, with going to these sort of people, to men of God or to pastors to ask for prayers? And also, if that's the only thing that they know, that shouldn't they continue, you know, to do these things? You know, that was how the question came across to me anyway. Now, this is what I just want to say. Now, when you are born as a baby, everything that, you know, that happens to you to make you grow is regulated by your parents. When you are crying and screaming, your parents will rush to you and give you milk and give you food. Now, if you don't stop crying, they'll try something else just to look for that area of discomfort. And why are they doing this? They are doing this because you are not yet in a position to fully and articulately express your needs and to also take care of yourself. So it means that at that level, your parents are totally and fully and completely responsible for your welfare. Now, I am an only child, so I really did not watch a junior one, like I didn't watch a junior brother or a junior sister grow, you know, at home while I was growing. But I had the privilege of watching my daughter grow through these stages. Now, she grew to a stage where we now expected, that, oh, when she is hungry, she would articulate herself. She would articulate herself and articulate her needs and tell us and let us know that she was hungry, and then we will go over to the fridge or go over to the kitchen and make her some food. So you see that that growth, there has been some growth and there has been some progress. Now, she is 9 years old. And at this time now, when she's hungry and she needs a snack or she needs a fruit, she has grown enough muscles and enough height and enough capacity to go to the kitchen by herself to take a piece of fruit or to take a pack of biscuits or to take a sweet or a chocolate and consume it without asking us to go and fetch those things for her. You understand? At age 9, obviously, she's not doing the cooking. Even at age 9, she can put butter and jam on her own bread and eat. So you see now that there is an expectation of growth. There is an expectation of progress. If at age 9, she's screaming and she cannot articulate what she wants in terms of the kind of food that she wants to eat, then there is a problem. It means that there is a problem. Now, that is a physical analogy I want to give you. Now, in the spirit, is actually very identical and similar. A time of your life spiritually comes where all you do is run to your fathers and your mothers in the spirit, who will pray for you and give you milk and succor you. But a time will come where you must begin to take responsibility. You must begin to fight your own battles. You would have also grown strength and muscles enough for you to take on battles, for you to take on battles in real life, and for you to be able to get things done. And if you do not get to that point after some time in Christianity, then your progress will be stunted, and then you will not be able to move any further, and then you will start experiencing frustration in your spiritual journey. And that is what my own ministry and my own emphasis is all about. When that frustration begins to set in, you've been going to these meetings every week, every month, you've been going into the same prayer lines, nothing has happened, and you are wondering if God is real, that is where my ministry comes in, to drag the Christian back to that point that, look, now you've gotten to a point where you need to embrace the responsibility for your spiritual life, where you need to identify the seeds that will allow you to grow in capacity and in results within the kingdom of God. And until you locate those seeds and begin to plant them, you will not have a healthy spiritual development as a Christian. And I'll see you after the break to continue with this gist.
So I'm super excited to bring this news to you. Breaking Soul Ties now comes to Lagos, Nigeria on the 16th of May 2015. Register now for free on www.soulties-niger.xyz. I repeat, www.soulties-niger.xyz. Hurry now. See you there. Welcome back to the second part of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. Listen and be blessed.
Welcome back. So, as I was saying before we went for the break, that a time will come in your spiritual life where you need to embrace responsibility. You need to embrace the responsibility attached to your spiritual life. And that is very important. And if you don't embrace that responsibility, you will then begin to notice that when you run to these people for these prayers over everything that is happening in your life, you then begin to notice that these prayers will no longer work the way they used to work. I saw that in my own spiritual life. When I just got saved, anytime I felt pain in a part of my body, I would go to my spiritual leaders then to lay hands on me and to pray for me. The Bible says that, you know, when you lay hands on the sick shall recover. So I would do that until one day I went for this kind of prayer again. They prayed for me and it appeared that this pain did not leave my body. So I was wondering that, God, didn't you answer this prayer? And then it was then that the Spirit of God began to teach me the process of walking by faith, because I wasn't even walking by faith. All I was doing was going to these guys. They will pray for me and I'll be observing the symptoms in my body over the next 24 hours to see if there has been any improvement. But I didn't even understand the principle of faith. So what I then did was to now begin to read God's word, study God's word, begin to read books on faith and see how people believed God for things. And then I began to discover that there is something called the word of God. There is something called the seed of the word of God being sown into your heart. There is something called confessions of faith. There is something called meditating in God's word that will allow that word to be revealed unto me. There is something called sowing and reaping by speaking those words continually. There is something called thanksgiving. There is something called paying attention to God's word on a daily basis. There is something called so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I began to get into all these things, and before I knew what was happening, it took some time. I began to develop that confidence to be able to pray by myself, speak God's word, and watch things happen. There is a particular case that I remember very well. Now, what was that case? Before I got saved, I had a weak low on my toe, on one of my toes, and my toe was bleeding. So I went to the doctors, and the doctors looked at it, and they gave me some local anesthesia, and the doctor right there in front of me sliced my toe and took out, you know, the pulse and the weak low, bandaged it up, and I had to walk around in slippers. I walked around in slippers for weeks. I see that wasn't good at all for me. I'll tell you why it wasn't good. This was only a few days before resumption at school. So, and I was going to resume for year three. Now, I know this is a Christian broadcast, but you know, permit me to say this. I wasn't born again then. I wasn't saved. So, and you know that at year three, there's something called the September rush where, you know, like, new ladies will be on admission. So, I mean, in year two, year three, guys, you look your best, you dress up your best, you know, and begin to, you know, sort of like, you know, identify these ladies, try to strike conversations with them and try to date them and all the rest. And here I was, I turned up on campus in slippers. I mean, that I wasn't happy at all. Now, the next thing that happened, now, after I got saved, on that same tour, this weak low turned up again. And I knew the pain that I went through when this thing happened the first time. So I went over to one of my spiritual leaders and he prayed over it. He spoke God's word over it. And the thing left my toe supernaturally over the next few hours or days. And that weak low left. I couldn't feel any pain. Wasn't bleeding anymore. And guess what? About 3 months later, this weak low returned again. And when it returned again, I went to the same person to pray the same prayer for me. And after about three days, the same amount of days it took for it to go the other time, this thing was still not there and it was getting more painful. And then I remembered that if this thing gets out of hand, that would leave me with no other choice than to go to see the doctors and have my toe sliced again. And I was thinking that, man, I don't want this toe sliced again. It will be too much trauma. So I was now forced to open the Bible myself and say, what am I going to do to get this toe healed supernaturally? I began to get into God's word. I then began to memorize Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4 that says that surely Christ hath borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. He was wounded for my transgressions. sins. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes I have been healed. I began to memorize scriptures, that scriptures like Mark 11:23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I began to memorize scriptures that said, Proverbs 18:21, that says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. I began to memorize scriptures like Mark 11:24, that says, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. I began to memorize scriptures like Romans 10:17, that says that so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I began to memorize scriptures like 2 Corinthians 5:17, that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. So you see, I began to get into all these scriptures, began to memorize them, began to declare them. I began to get into scriptures like Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, and all those other scriptures. I began to memorize them, and began to meditate on them, began to confess them, and began to speak myself over God's word by myself over that toe, and began to command that my toe be healed supernaturally. And within another 3 days, the blood dried up, the pain went away, and the weakness disappeared. And that was it. And by that time, I had my testimony, and my testimony was produced by my faith in God's word without anyone's assistance. And I began to grow stronger and stronger in faith. And that is the process of God. That is the process that God has for us to follow, to grow spiritually. Now, if you don't go through that process, and all you do is wait for Sunday for you to see that man of God before you can pray and develop any confidence in anything, then you are cutting yourself short in Christianity. And then you are also not sowing the seed of the kingdom of God into your heart that will produce lasting results in your spiritual life. Let me read a particular scripture to you, that I would want to use in illustrating spiritual growth in the life of a believer. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 was a scripture that I learned in the early days of my Christianity. 1 John chapter 2. Let me look for that verse. I actually didn't prepare to read it, but I know I'll find it. It's somewhere in 1 John chapter 2. I'll read from verse 12. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. This is a very nice episode. Make sure you listen to this episode over and over and over again. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So you see that in spiritual growth, there is the face of the little children. Now, a little child, lives on acceptance. So you see, if you're a little child, your progress, your welfare is based on your feeling of acceptance. So your parents will always demonstrate acceptance to you no matter what you do. So you see that in the babyhood days of Christianity, you struggle with acceptance. You struggle with acceptance. So how do you struggle with acceptance? When you do something wrong, you begin to have that feeling that God doesn't love you. Or maybe you've been praying. There's a way you pray and you feel goosebumps all over you. So you can tell that, oh yes, God is with me. Then you pray. Then one time will come where God will withdraw those feelings. And when you pray, you not feel those goosebumps. And then you ask the question, now what have I done wrong against God? That is when you begin to learn the principle that your sins are forgiven, you have been accepted, whether you feel any goosebumps or not. And then if you flip very quickly to the tail end of verse 13, he says, I write unto you, little children, again, because you have known the Father. So you see that the whole essence of you being a child in Christianity, a spiritual child, is that you will have to know the Father. You have to know your Father, have a relationship with your Father, develop utmost confidence in the acceptance of your Father towards you. Now, what is the next level of Christianity? The next level of Christianity is what you will find in verse 13. It says, I write, the middle part of verse 13, 1 John chapter 2, it says, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. So you see that now that you grow into being a young man, you are now fighting battles spiritually. And in those battles, it says, you have overcome the wicked one. Then if you go to the tail end of verse 14, it says, I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So you see here that from the babyhood days of Christianity, that you struggle for acceptance, the proof that you have now begun to grow is that you are now taking on battles, you are now taking on challenges, and those challenges are being solved because you are strong, you have developed muscles, and those muscles came as a result of you taking in the word of God. It says you are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So as a young man, you have no fear of Satan, you have no fear of spiritual warfare, you have no fear you have no fear of demons, you have no fear of familiar spirits, you have no fear for evil spirits, because the word of God is strong on the inside of you, and you always overcome every challenge that comes your way. So you see that there are stages in Christianity. There is a childhood and babyhood stage where you are struggling with acceptance. There's the young man stage where you are fighting battles day after day and overcoming in those battles because you have the word of God in you. And there also, there is the fatherhood days where you have not only fought battles, where you have overcome, but you are now a father also looking after other people in the Lord. He says that I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning, which means that as a father in Christianity, you have experience, you have experiential knowledge of God that you teach other people and that you impart into other Christians. He says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. So you at that level, nobody can confuse you about God again, because you have experienced the power and the blessings and the miracles of God. So I want to stop here. So you see that there are stages in Christianity. There's the babyhood stage where they are feeding you, you run to people for prayers. There's the young man stage where your muscles are developed with the word of God, and you are able to overcome every challenge that comes your way and crush every demon that comes your way. And there's the fatherhood stage where you have not only perfected crushing the enemy on a daily basis in your life, but you are now imparting that same knowledge into baby Christians around you, and also guiding the young people. Now, this has nothing to do with ministry. This is the progress that every believer must go through if indeed you are a true Christian. So where are you at the moment? Are you at the level where you always run to people to pray for you because you yourself don't have enough confidence in your father that he hears you every time you pray? Where is your level of Christianity today? Based on those descriptions I've given in over the last 5 minutes, you can locate yourself. But the key thing is that anywhere you locate yourself, make sure you have a program by which you are taking in the word of God and accepting responsibility for your spiritual life, so that you can make great progress in the kingdom of God, and so that you can live in joy, fulfillment, and have every single need that in your life met supernaturally by the kingdom of God. So I want to stop here, and we'll continue next week from here. See you guys next week. Bye.
So super excited to bring this news to you. Breaking Soul Ties now comes to Lagos, Nigeria on the 16th of May 2015. Register now for free on www.soulties-niger.xyz. I repeat, www.soulties-niger.xyz. Hurry now. See you there. Thanks for listening to this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. To learn more about Soul Ties on Twitter, please follow our Shola Adio and our Soul Ties tweets. You can also visit www.breakingsoulties.com to read up on Soul Ties. To contact Shola Adio, please send an email to breakingsoulties@charisministries.org. That is K-A-R-I-S ministries.org. You can also chat with him on BBM by using the following pin, 52C7F3CD. I repeat, 52C7F3CD. We have come to the end of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. See you again same time next week. Jesus is Lord.